I just had to restart some things as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I saw was like a no and then a smile, and I was like, what happened?
I'm just, I was just kicking myself because we had to, we had to just like, it was just a buzzkill. It was just a buzzkill because you were talking about something so important. You know, you were talking about something that I right now at this point, like, I kind of don't even remember. We're live now, by the way. But any semblance of, you know, this being a professional broadcast has gone out the window. Oh, and Nixie is back. Nixie is right back. Came right back. Awesome. Okay. So thank you.
It's quite a cliffhanger.
Yeah. No, we did it. Yeah, it was totally on purpose. Yeah. But yeah. But anyway, I mean, I think we were talking about our backgrounds. And our upbringing, and and I never remember. I left off saying, like, it was very difficult for my family to have any kind of business success because they were just still living in their past, and they were looking at each successive investment or business venture as like a revenge for getting back at what, for making up for the loss last time. And of course that just made it worse. So where does that leave us off with your story?
Am I frozen for you?
You were for a
just
bit.
You that were frozen.
You were frozen for a bit.
And then you were too. Yeah, because you were frozen as well. It's like, oh no!
This is crazy. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, right?
What's going on?
You didn't hear what I said?
No. Sorry.
This is awesome. I said that it was our letting go of our past.
Yeah, letting go of our past.
Yeah. And my parents couldn't do it. And a lot of what I'm talking about now is, let's pay attention to that, because it's very internal. It's a very personal power-driven topic. So,
right.
Just while I still have you, tell me what your version of that is.
Yeah. So I was talking about I'll just kind of recap what I was saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of what you guys heard, but I was talking about going to therapy and the therapist telling me that I was situationally depressed.
Yeah.
And then realizing that, okay, I was already out of that particular situation about 7 or 8 months prior to that. And yeah, I was high functioning because I was blocking it out. I was just focusing so much on work and doing everything else that I was not really focusing on me. And then I knew that I was in a bad place because you shouldn't want to kill yourself. I mean, that's not normal. So I had to think about it, and I was like, okay, my life is more than just these few things, and I have to make a purpose for myself. And so one, I thought about my nephews, and I thought about not seeing them again, or my brother having to explain to, I think at the time they were maybe like 9 and 4. They were young. Having to explain, okay, you're not going to see your Pua. They call me Pua. You're not going to see your Pua anymore. Like, that broke my heart. So I was like, okay, I have to figure out a plan. And
but
so,
what does Pua mean real quick? I don't know what that means.
Your mother, your father's sister.
So it's a version of it's a very specific way of saying, like, auntie? Okay.
Yeah. So they call me Pua, like, even to this, like, they're 12 and 7 now?
Mm-hmm.
11 and 6, but they still call me that to this day, so it's kind of cool. But it was that thought that I was like, oh yeah, that can't happen, because I actually had an uncle of mine commit suicide, and I remember how that felt for me. So I'm not going to do that to my nephews, and they're much younger. So I decided at this point I was not working, And I was just like, I'm going to do something with my life. And I started volunteering. I started volunteering with one of my nephews is autistic. So I started volunteering with autistic kids to not only help those parents, but to figure out how am I going to interact with my nephew. And then I started doing like Meals on Wheels, and I started seeing the impact that my life made on other people. And I realized, hey, my life mattered. And that's honestly how I got better. I started realizing that my life, me being me, impacts other people, and me being happy impacts other people. And I made other people happy, and I made them realize that their lives matter. And I started just becoming happier and happier every day. And then I like went to the movies by myself. I would go to a restaurant by myself. I would do everything by myself because I was afraid of obviously trusting somebody else. So I started off by myself, and then I introduced other people into the mix. Like I would go out with my brother and a couple of his friends or some coworkers. And obviously I would be cautious, but I would still. And that's how eventually I became to be this version of myself.
And fast forward to today, you are now engaged. Congratulations. Yes. As of today. Maybe some people will be tuning into a recording where, you know, you are already married. But as of today, you are engaged. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
How do you go from not being able to trust anyone to even go to the movies with or have a meal at a restaurant with? Now it's the ultimate form of trust, yeah. Vulnerability. I'm not married myself. I know you know Bonnie, but like we're not engaged or married, so I can't truly relate. But I know what it entails. And so how do you go from not being able to go out to hang out with anybody to now you're engaged? Give me that. You got to give me that before and after school.
Yeah, but that in itself is a challenge. And, you know, I got to salute to Mage because he was very patient with me. I didn't trust anybody. And for a very long time. And it does take work. But I think one of the things that I always keep in my head is that whenever you are honest with somebody and you're trustworthy with someone and you believe them and you're loyal to them, and then they are the ones that, you know, they betray you. It's not you that did something wrong. It's the other person, right? And how somebody treats you is a reflection on you. Mm. A reflection on them, not you.
And that right. On that. Right.
So that is one of the things that really, that I really hold true to. Like, I'm going to always treat people the same. I'm going to meet you the same way. And if you meet me that way, great. And if you don't, well, then maybe we don't have to talk, you know? And so that is how I overcame the not trusting anybody. I decided, okay, I have to at some point trust people. So what I have to do is trust myself. And that is where I realized that, okay, I can trust myself, that I know what I'm doing. And if I'm going to be 100% me, then that's what you have to accept. And if you don't accept it, then I'm not going to, I don't compromise my being for somebody else. Obviously, I compromise other things, but I'm not going to compromise myself.
I think that we hear similar things like that very, very often.
Yeah.
And I think on the surface level, on the cognitive level of our brain, we're like, yes, that sounds great. Of course. Yeah. You know, you know, treat yourself with respect and all that. But then we come to there are certain people within our inner circle, whether it's friends, family, or whatever form of loved ones, where it's like, how do we get, like they say that, you know, the what's the saying, like you can't you don't choose your own family,
right?
And you know, family above all else. And like, how do you deal with the challenges with, especially when there is a cultural difference. You know, you and I, we both have immigrant parents.
Right.
Different culture, different era. We live in the internet age. They lived in a different country in a very different age.
Absolutely.
How do we bridge that gap when they're kind of set in their ways and we're looking forward and a little bit more progressive? How do you deal with that?
So for me, I kind of redefined that word family. For my parents and my culture, family is blood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I mean, it is by biology definitions.
Okay.
Yeah, we share blood, we're a family. But if your family is, toxic, are you going to stay in the toxicity? Like, are you going to stay there? Are you going to be there? I have a perfect example in my family where I made one choice and all of my cousins, like 25, 30 of them, made the other choice. Like literally it was 1 to 30. They all made one choice and I made the opposite choice. And
what was the choice?
One person in my family had to go to court and I went with him and the other people did not. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the choice was support some, but one of the members of the family
right
at court or not.
And
30 people chose to not go at all.
Yes.
And you were the only one that said, no, I will be there to support you.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want anything to happen to you. So I'm going to go and make sure that I'm going to do whatever I can for nothing to happen to you. And a lot of people didn't make the same decision, and they didn't agree with my decision. And
right.
So they don't talk to me. I probably talked to, of the 30, probably talked to like 6. And that is one of the reasons why my message is be unapologetically. I do not apologize for making that choice. That was the best choice for me and the person that I was supporting. And so it is quality over quantity, and you have to redefine that word family.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
So going back to that example, so are you saying that you don't talk to those 30 people anymore?
They kind of just stayed away from me.
Okay.
Like I was living in Florida at that time. I was going through a really rough time. I was actually engaged then as well. This was before all of everything that happened.
Yeah.
And that because of those things happened in my life, my engagement ended. My family at that time alienated me. I was truly alone. So when I say like I wanted to kill myself, I lost everything. I did. And having
your own family shunned you.
Right. And after we had that happen with an uncle in my family, I felt like, oh, they would learn. Don't alienate somebody. Don't leave somebody out. And yet it still happened again. So a person's nature, obviously they can change if they want to change, but somebody's nature is that's how they are. I was drowning by myself, so I had to save myself. So am I gonna protect familial ties because it looks nice, or am I gonna protect myself because I need to feel better?
Right. I'm totally with you. It can be incredibly challenging, and I have to believe that at least the majority of these 30 family members, they're good people, each in their own way, and they probably all want good things for you. I have to believe none of them really wanted you to face depression and
they probably
suicide.
That's the thing with our culture is we don't communicate, right? Yeah, you laugh because you know it's true.
Yeah, well, I'm laughing out of recognition. yes, absolutely. I know exactly what that feels like.
We would have been fine.
I know exactly what that feels like.
It didn't happen. And I'm just at the point now where I'm like, I moved to New Jersey 5 years ago. I did reach out to 2 people in my family that I thought were close to me.
Mm-hmm.
and they never got back to me. So
I guess where I was leading with that was like what is going through their head, and what are they feeling and thinking? Because I don't think it's okay, I want her to feel depressed and feel suicidal. I don't believe that is their intention, even though that is what ends up happening. Give me some insight as to what it's like on, what do you think that they're thinking on
I
their end?
honestly think they didn't know because, like the therapist said, I was carrying on this facade. I was working, I was doing everything just fine. It's internally, I was not okay. And I, hence me reaching out to them saying, hey, I'm not okay. And going to the therapist and saying, I'm not okay. And everybody kept saying, but you're fine. And I'm like, but I'm not fine. So you ever see those memes where they're like, check in on your happy friends, and it's like Robin Williams and I can't remember all the other people, but Robin Williams is always the one that sticks out in my head. But it's true. It's like check in on your happy friends.
Anthony
'Cause we
Bourdain,
Yes.
that one was a surprise to everybody.
Yeah, 'cause we can walk around like a facade all the time. Or one I get a lot is, oh, you're very strong. When the very strong people reach their limit, it's bad. You know? So I honestly think they didn't know. And I have no problems with that. Like, that's fine. They honestly didn't know, and it's great, but they didn't even choose to have a conversation. It's been years. Like 6 years, at least. 2014 that happened.
So you heard it from the master of personal power, Laura Jatan. Check in on your happy friends. It could there could be more under the surface than just their smiles and laughter, right? That's the lesson that I'm hearing from
Yeah,
you.
absolutely.
Yeah. And that's absolutely related to the idea of personal finance as well. It's the same exact thing, guys. Just because, especially if they're flaunting their Lamborghinis and really pretty women, with their with their models and with their in their fancy yachts or anything like that,
Yeah.
you really want to be careful what's under the surface, right? It usually more often than not, those types of marketing schemes are indications of feeling a not enoughness. Would you is that's
I would think so. I feel true people that, I'm probably phrase that really bad, but I feel like people that have the abundance don't need to flaunt it. They have it. It's within them.
Right. Got it. And so what about for people who might be watching, who might be one of these ostensibly really happy people on the outside, but inside there's like a storm brewing. They're going through some challenges, and they're doing it alone, similar
Right.
to how you did. What message would you have for them?
So there's two things. One, journaling is really good. That's what I did when I didn't know who to talk to or I didn't have someone to talk to. I journaled. Or three things actually. So I journaled. I cried a lot. You have to let it out. Just cry it out. And then if you do have a confidant, just talk to that person. Because Paul Fink says, if you put light on something, then it's no longer evil. You have to shine light on it. So if you talk about it, it helps. What I did with my journal when I journaled was I would write whenever I felt like writing. I usually wrote at night. At the end of the day, I kind of like decompressed and wrote it all in there. And then I read it the next day as a different perspective, as if I was talking to a good friend of mine. And then I told myself, like, why are you talking to yourself like that? You wouldn't talk to another person like that. So why are you talking to yourself like that? And you kind of like analyze yourself and kind of do your own therapy that way. Because you're not going to talk to somebody. I wouldn't talk to somebody else that way, the way I was talking to myself before. And so I realized I was being really mean and cruel to myself, and I was worth way more than I thought I was.
I'm gonna confess something to you now that you've said that. But first, we have a co I have a we have a co You like that cliffhanger? No, just kidding.
Yes. I was like, you want the confession?
We have a comment from Robin, who is suggesting Facebook groups, so that you know that you're not alone.
Right.
That's a good one. And you can always find someone there to be with you. And she's also saying there is online therapy apps. So those are some technology's a blessing in that way, in that sense. But here's my confession. Ready? I promised you.
Okay.
So I do the journaling thing, and I promote it very heavily as a way of just being connected with your feelings, especially when it comes to investing. Investing, mostly the way that I talk about it, is mostly about emotional management and regret management, because there's all this kind of FOMO that happens and everything like that. So there's a huge emphasis that I put on regret management, because that was kind of the downfall of my family, right? And I'm trying to learn from their mistakes. The way that I deal with journaling from that perspective, all that being said, is that I journal, and probably I journal in a way that I'm just kind of letting loose, letting all the negative thoughts out of my head, and probably I'm not being very nice to myself, right? Or being not saying very nice things, putting pen to paper. And then what I do is I immediately shred the paper, as if to like complete that the release.
Right.
What I don't do, and what I haven't done, I don't think ever, is read what I wrote the next day.
Well, if you crumple it up and throw it away, how are you gonna read it?
Right. So that's my confession. I've never reread what I wrote. And when it comes to journaling in this fashion, when it comes to like notes and stuff that I need to, obviously it's different, right? But journaling in this particular fashion, what advice would you have for me? Like, what is the difference between what benefits? What did you experience going back and rereading stuff that you wrote?
I find the answers in my journal. Like even if I'll read like from like 11 years ago, I read the other day, I opened my journal and I read like the first couple, like 10 pages. It was from 2009. And I was like, oh my God, I was going through all of that. And here I am, 2020, didn't even remember that I went through it all. And so it helps you. It reminds you of how far you've come. Like sometimes when you're in survival mode, right? You're just like one day at a time, right? And yes. One day at a time can turn into a decade, and you haven't realized how far you've gone one day at a time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what going back and reflecting does help. I mean, obviously you're not going to read the bad things and relive it, but you're going to realize, learn from it. You're going to realize, I've come this far. Look what I've gone through. Look what I've endured. And I'm stronger and better because of it.
Wonderful. I'm going to start doing that. And I'll let you know how it goes. Yeah, we're in our regularly scheduled mastermind groups. We see each other on a regular basis. So I will definitely let you know as I journal. I'm not going to throw away the pages anymore.
Right.
So that's my takeaway for today, guys. Laura, where can people find you on social media to learn more about your message, to maybe want to connect with you and learn more about Mischievous?
So I have a website, www.mischievous.com, mm-hmm. and I have Instagram and Facebook. There, my handle is Mischievous Official.
Mischievous Official. Yeah, okay. So I will put links to those all in the description, so that you guys can have access to it with just one click. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you for having, thank you for joining us today, Laura. It was great having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks everybody for tuning in. This was an episode on personal power, internal personal power. Catch the replay. There was a lot of stuff that we covered. Laura dropped some really great golden nuggets, even through the technical difficulties.
Yes.
And while you're here, make sure you do subscribe and follow the page and hit the notification bell so that you can stay current with daily content just like this. That's it for today, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for the next episode from YouTube. Good night, everyone.
Good night.